The Veterans Affairs Department is attacking its appeals backlog, much in the same way it took on its disability claims backlog. VA is using a combination of technology and old-fashioned process improvements to deal with an appeals backlog that's grown by 15% over the last 2 years. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on VA's plans to get that appeals backlog out of the way. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this is the blocking and tackling, I guess, that has to be done to get this all done. What is their approach on the appeals backlog?
Well, remember, VA has made a fair amount of progress dealing with its claims backlog. And if you remember, the claims backlog got them into a lot of hot water over the last few years. But at the same time, while they've dealt with that backlog, this appeals backlog, meaning, hey, I think I need to be on disability or I deserve some disability payments. Nope, you don't, according to us. And then you come back and go, I appeal that decision. Today it stands at more than 285,000 cases. And on average, Tom, it takes more than 1,000 days to settle an appeals case. So that's more than, 3 years? We don't do math in journalism, right?
Well, that's about about the length of the Kennedy presidency.
1,000 days. Camelot, but not in a good way. In many ways, this appeals process is where the disability claims process was just a few years ago. Now, VA has made significant progress processing claims more quickly, reducing the backlog. A couple numbers I'll just throw at you real quick. Total claims inventory, now this is, again, initial claims, went down from 489,000 is down to 489,000 from 883,000 as of July 2012. Now, of those, 224,000 are part of the backlog, meaning they've been waiting to be heard for more than a certain amount of time, usually more than 120 days. And that's down from 611,000 are the backlog as of March 2013. Now, Steph Warren is the Veterans Affairs Department's Chief Information Officer. He says VA is asking for $20 million in 2016 to bring the appeals process well into the 21st century.
Parts of it are in electrons, parts of it are in paper. I mean, there's an electronic tracking system that allows them to manage the work. It's pretty much where the benefits processing was. There is a lot of paper. And so when we talk about investments in 16 is to take VBMS and the goodness that is brought to the benefits side and basically expand it into the appeal space. How do we then, as a result of an appeal being made on a benefits determination, how do we flow through into that next workflow and then continue going forward? And that's why we had asked for resources in 16 to support that. And there's a lot of work taking place this year to look at the process improvement and look at how do we need to expose the capability out of VBMS so we can accelerate any transformation they need to make.
Now, you heard Warren mention VBMS. It's the Veterans Benefit Management System. That is the electronic system that VA did develop to deal with this disability claims backlog. Warren spoke yesterday during a briefing with reporters. He also touched upon how this $20 million request for the appeals backlog is part of a broader increase that VA is looking for its overall IT budget, approximately a $233 million increase for 2016. Overall, the department has asked for $4.13 billion for technology in 2016. Of that $4.13 billion, about 55% goes for the delivery of healthcare services and other healthcare tools from a technology perspective.
So outside of the appeals process investment, what other programs do they plan to invest in for those 2 years with that extra money?
Right. That's, and then not just $233 million. That's a $4.13 billion. VA probably has the second largest IT budget in government behind, of course, the Defense Department. I think one of the biggest programs that we should keep an eye on, Tom, is VA's plan to replace its entire phone system with new voice over IP or VoIP technology. Warren says this is a 10-year program to replace 1,200 phone systems across the entire country. VA started this effort with three pilots.
It is moving from a fixed physical hardware plant to an internal cloud-based solution. So it is voice over IP. What we've done is we've set up the core capability at two data centers. And what we do then is we switch off of those data centers to a private cloud to make sure that we are able to do the voice over IP on our backbone. Now, we did a lot of work on this in terms of trying to figure out what's the best way to go. And when the analysis took place, and this was made while Roger was still here, Roger Baker was still here, the answer was to be a government-owned, contractor-operated infrastructure and system. So that's the pilot we're going through right now. We've done the conversion at Fort Harrison, and we've been hearing just awesome comments about responsiveness is up, capability is up, and we're able to integrate some of the things that the healthcare providers needed in terms of distress call, emergency notifications, nurse notifications. So a lot of that capability has been baked into it.
Now, Warren says Fort Harrison in Montana has been up with the new phone system for about 2 months. He says the Tennessee Valley area is next to get VoIP, and then Charleston, West Virginia will follow later this summer. Warren says one of the most interesting things that they've learned about moving from the old PBX, which, Tom, do you remember what PBX even stands for?
Private Branch Exchange.
Wow, very good. I didn't think there was too many people out there left that would remember. I think people just, it's like, you know, you just use the acronym now.
You know, Jason, on my first job at a small newspaper, I won't even tell you where it was or when it was.
Waltham, Mass.
close. But the town hall had a switchboard operator with a lady pulling in patch cords and sticking them in and pulling them out to make the connections. I think it was the last one left in the East.
Before the PBXs came in, right?
They didn't buy a PBX until after I left.
Well, what's interesting about the PBX system is we're so used to it, we know that if the electricity goes out, your phone still works because it's not connected to the phone line. But with VoIP, and this is what people have to learn about VoIP, is it is connected to your electricity because it's going off your router. It's going off the internet, which is pulling, you know, part of, you know, it's connected to electricity somehow. Now, so what VA learned was that they have to install an uninterrupted power source for each VoIP switch, and in the closet to make sure the power, if the power does go down, if there's a hurricane, if there's a storm, or really for any reason, then the phones will not go down as well, because so the ups will be there. So that's a very interesting thing that I think agencies need to learn as they move toward VoIP, which I think a lot of them are. Now, a second big priority for VA is around their scheduling system. Tom, if you remember, this is something we talked about a lot over the last year and was a major part of VA's troubles last summer. The scheduling system was poorly designed and hard to use. So VA is taking a multi-pronged approach to fixing the scheduling system, and Warren offers this update to VA's efforts.
We had the defects or the things that were identified that need to be fixed in the existing software. We're on the last one. There were 11 patches that have been released. We're doing that last one to be 12. The second one was the near-term relief in terms of putting capability in place that changed the interface, moving away from roll and scroll to something that's easier to use. That gets done May 15th. Enhancements to the existing software. So this is expanding on what's there. That contract was awarded last year. We continue to work on that. Capability is rolling out in terms of some of the initial capability in April of this year. As we continue to roll through that. And then we have that longer term, which is sitting down and asking if we replace what we had with a commercial product, and that is out on the street, it's come in, and we're going through the review and selection process.
Now, if you remember, you heard Warren say the longer term that's out on the street. What he's referring to there is VA issued a request for proposals in November to build a new patient scheduling system. That deal could be worth about $690 million over 7 years. Warren adds he expects to get a sense of their plans by the end of April. Now, he didn't say they would make an award, but if you kind of read between the lines there, I think that's what he's hinting to. So I would tell vendors and others, it sounds like an award is coming soon.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've still got my mind on all those UPS systems they have to put in for the voice over IP. You know, every one of those has a battery that has to be replaced from time to time. Just thought I'd mention that. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, Jason, VA has been focused on, and it's gotten a lot of heat around cybersecurity. This goes back a decade or so. What are their plans for 2015 and beyond, and what's in the budget for 2016 with respect to cyber?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. VA has been on the hot seat for some time around cyber. The agency wants to give cyber a pretty big boost in spending in 2016. Warren says he hopes the budget will be at least $30 million more in their cyber account and an additional another $30 million in their operational account. And that's just not all the money going for cyber. That's just the boost area. He says there's people and embedded cyber throughout the budget. So in all, Warren says VA will spend about $53 million on its cybersecurity program, another $70 million on its network operations center, and another $30 million on its continuous readiness and information security, or its CRIS program. That's what they're calling their continuous monitoring program. And then finally, VA also wants to spend about $10 million for privacy and records management efforts and improvements there. Warren says all this money for cyber and all these programs will actually cut across multiple areas, multiple plans.
This year, we have a significant investment going through how our domains are structured and how Active Directory is structured to make sure we've added some of the latest thinking on how you protect things. Another one that the team is working through, and I believe will be done by May this year, is requiring two-factor authentication or two factors when you log in from a government computer from outside the VA. So again, we're constantly adding things to what we require of individuals with respect to blocking websites, blocking type of traffic, monitoring particular things. We are, if you will, connected and expanding on.
Now, I also asked Warren about the now, what we'll call the now famous Mandiant report that says VA's networks don't have any residual or current signs that nation states are in control of something called their domain controllers, which basically lets them control the network. And this has been about a month since VA publicized that Mandiant's initial report. Warren says the public version of the cybersecurity company's findings is still going through the clearance and redaction processes. So that's something to keep an eye on for in the coming weeks. If you remember, Tom, this is one of the reasons why VA has had so much heat from their cybersecurity efforts. Back in 2013, it came out that the IG, a former chief information security officer at VA, testified to Congress that there were at least 8 or 9 nation-state incidents within the VA network. So this Mandiant report is saying everything is fine, but VA still has not released that report a month later. One other initiative that Warren is in the middle of that actually has a little bit of a cyber twist to it is he's visiting field offices, and he says VA recently launched the My VA Idea House in November, asking employees for ideas and innovations. Warren says he recently received one idea around cybersecurity during a recent visit.
We actually got into a really good conversation about patching strategy and patching approaches, and it was great to hear insights about how do we do a better job of that. In some cases, the way we do patching is you do patch, 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 patch. And one of the folks said, you know what, let's, instead of just patch, 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 which has got an overhead, just drop a brand new image, which is fully patched. And so that's something the team is exploring as a productivity improvement of, instead of as you normally do, add a patch, restart, add a patch, restart, add a patch, restart, add a patch, restart. It's basically build an image, test it with all of the most recent patches in it, and for places where there is no data resident on a computer, just go ahead and re-image the machine. And the productivity improvement that we think can come from that is pretty significant. But again, the team is going through and figuring out how do we segment the desktops and laptops we have and apply that strategy where it's most appropriate.
Now, Warren says that the recent JAS bug, the JAS bug, if you remember that virus that came out a couple of weeks ago, that's an example of the patch, patch, patch problem. They got the alert. They've been patching ever since. He says they're about 80% done and should be finished with the other 20% this week. But if they could just do the new image, that would make things a lot easier and more quickly.
All right. Sounds like there's a lot going at VA. You captured a lot of it. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that report.
Always a pleasure, Tom.